It's the Adventures of Indiana Jim, number 48, for October 1st, 2011.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from...
The Clefts of Insanity!
A man who needs no introduction.
Don't open that! It's an alien planet! Is there air? You don't know!
That international man of geekery. That intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
You have chosen wisely.
Don't tell me you've never heard of me.
I'll explain. And I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
You may find this childish arrogance impresses servant girls.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent.
You, boy, are arrogant, hot-tempered, and entirely too bold.
I like that. Reminds me of me.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage. Skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
Why are you listening to this fellow? May I imagine he's wearing a costume, not a uniform.
I have entertained in all the courts of Europe and speak a ready wit in their every tongue.
I told you I was famous.
Good morning. This is the first experiment. It's the first time I've used the iPhone to record stuff. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know the best place to record my voice. I'm guessing at the bottom because it uses, I don't know, could be a mic at the top. I can't tell where the mic is. But anyway, I'm going to record it anyway and see what happens. And I just said anyway twice. That was kind of redundant. So what's been going on? You know, I've discovered this. If I ever become a full-time writer, author, novelist, whatever. And I know a lot of people are probably, why would you say if? You must believe. You must say when. If I become one of those, whatever that is, summer is not really going to be a good writing time for me. And I don't know why that is. But it'll be perfect because that's convention season. The kids are out of school, vacations happen, it's perfect. Fall, when the weather cools off like it is today, like it cooled off yesterday, and the day before it was just almost miserably hot. I actually played golf that day, Saturday, and it was hot. It wasn't like, you know, stifling. It was okay, but the next day would have been much better. You know, when the high is going to be 71 degrees and the wind's blowing and it's crisp outside and it just smells like fall. That's when the writing itch really hits me better than other times. And I don't know why that is. I mean, fall's always been my favorite season. You know, summer's nice. Summer was great in the desert. It's not so good in the Ohio River Valley. So I've got that going where just the bug really hits me, and I really like fall. So welcome, fall, when you finally arrive in 3 weeks. Should be awesome. And I've been making progress on a project called The Sword of Calogrim. It is a fantasy adventure. It, you know, plays on a lot of the common fantasy tropes. Uses a sword with some enchantment, which is not unusual to the fantasy genre. And it really goes to my philosophy about fantasy. And I love reading fantasy that breaks new ground. Love Steven Erikson's Malazan Book of the Fallen. Great epic series if you like it really dense. And I mean lots of stuff going on, lots of new details, lots of things you got to pay attention to. You know, if you want a good light read, you know, go read Robert Jordan. And when you say Robert Jordan is a light read, that should raise some eyebrows. If you've never read Steven Erikson, then you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. Once you do read Steven Erikson, you're going to be like, whoa. He was right. George R.R. Martin is good for some light reading. Oh, yeah. So there's that. So I like Patrick Rothfuss, of course. Love. I'm just now getting into the wise man's fear. And just, of course, love his storytelling style. Love the way he does things. And I love the fact that he turns some tropes on their head. You know, had a little bit of Harry Potter flair to it, which I found interesting, but more serious weight to it. And he just has a way of writing that's just, frankly, remarkable. So, anyway, point is, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not a go out and try to break new ground sort of writer. I'm a write a good story, make sure you have good characters sort of guy. I'm all about the characters. I don't care what the setting is. I don't care what the tropes are. As long as the characters are strong and as long as they're real, that's the most important thing, is that they act like real people. Even the writers that say they want their characters to be like real people end up writing characters that do things that real people don't do. Maybe real stupid people do, but not real people that are thoughtful about what they're doing. I don't want to read about stupid people. And you know, I don't want to read about moronic heroes and villains. I want the heroes and the villains to be the smart ones. And the morons can be the fringe players. So that's just my my feeling on the matter. So, when I'm writing characters, I make sure that, you know, I don't resort to cliche dialogue. At least I try not to. I try to think, what would a smart person who actually has something to say, what would they say in this instance? And a lot of times, especially with, like, and I guess most people are used to this, but, you know, romantic comedies are the worst for people acting like idiots and doing stuff that real people don't do simply for the sake of plot. Characters are not a slave to your plot. Your plot is a slave to your characters. That's my belief. And I hope a lot of people are agreeing with me right now. And I think a lot of people are. Got a lot of writers in this audience, so there you go. Now, I'm in the car, so obviously traffic happens and coffee happens in the morning when you're going to work. So if you hear any dead air, that's me drinking. And it is coffee, trust me. Yeah, so I have to be at work at 8:30, and it's 8 o'clock, and the bridge is clogged, and it's fun. It's great. No, really, it's exciting. Now, I'm getting my throat cleared up. Where was I? Oh, yes, talking about writing. So the Sword of Calligrim is not one of those novels that breaks any new ground, but the important thing is the characters. And I really feel like I've taken the leap forward from the last Guardians, which I am still going to be working on. We have been moving. Studio has been in flux. And, you know, at this point, it's like I get off at work at 6, got to feed the kids, got to bait the kids, got to unpack stuff from moving, and I don't really have a lot of time. That's why I'm sitting here recording this episode in the car, trying an experiment. And if it works out, I can record the other show, the 49ers Fancast, also in the car. Because I won't have anything else to do but be in the car. I just wonder how this app is going to work if I get a phone call. But anyway, that's beside the point. Point is, I forget the point, Sword of Calligrim, breaking new ground. I feel like the characters are very close to my heart. The main character, I guess what I mean to say is this story that I'm telling is the closest thing to my heart that I've written to date. A lot of stuff has been, you know, all about adventure and I've had some nifty ideas, at least ideas that I think are pretty good for characters and for plots and things. But this story just kind of hit me, and it was one of those things where I look at movies and I liken my stories to movies that I like. For instance, The Last Guardians. There's some elements that are from like the 13th Warrior movie, elements from the First Knight movie that a lot of people complain about with Richard Gere and Sean Connery, that I just think is a real guilty pleasure, kind of just a fun movie. And no, there Lancelot wasn't the strongest character. But the sword fights were cool, okay? That's why I like it. And Sean Connery. How can you not like Sean Connery in anything? So, you got that. This character, what was I saying? Great, I've just completely lost it. I don't know where I was going. What movie is this like? Shoot. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Anyway, there was something about First Knight, but I forget what it was. Here it is. So, the premise came from, you remember, maybe you do remember, maybe you don't. The very beginning of First Knight, they have the little opening crawl, and, you know, the wars were over, and Arthur wanted to marry, and then there was Lancelot, blah, 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 and Lancelot was always good with a sword, dot, dot, dot. And so, the first scene is Lancelot fighting a guy in a village square. And then he's basically going through the kind of the showmanship angle of the sword fight. And I thought, well, what if there was a traveling swordsman who ended up being killed by one of the villagers? And what are the ramifications of that? What are the results of that? What happens to the character who is the person who ends up doing that? And I just thought, that's really, and throw in some magic with it and see where it goes. And it's really been a fun story. It's really been interesting. Try to find ways where to balance the magic of the sword with the strength of the character getting himself out of jams instead of just relying on the sword to do it. So far he's had to use some of his intellect. He's had to rely on the help of friends. And some of it has just been, frankly, the magic of the sword. But used in such a way that it's fun. That at least it's interesting. And it's not like, oh, there's the sword doing all the work for him again. But sometimes it's like, it's, you know, sometimes things work out in your favor. There is some providence. There is some serendipity involved. So just trying to balance that out and make a good story that people like. And really, when it comes down to it, again, if your characters are strong and the movement of those characters is logical and does something for people, then I think you can get away with some of those magical plot points. And in the end, it's not going to be, I promise you, it's not going to be the magic of the sword that saves him in the end. And that's, I'm not giving away any spoilers. It's simply a writing philosophy. It's like Scott Sigler says, you know, you don't want the what is it, Deus Ex Machina? Or Deus, I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's Latin. So I think it's Deus Ex Machina, but whatever. Point is, you don't want to do that. Right? You don't want just magic or God to get a character out of the jam in the end. Right? And I believe this in our regular lives. You know, God works miracles, but, you know, in the end, life is about choice. And you have to make the right choice. And sometimes God moves barriers out of our way. And sometimes He expects you to go through them. That's my belief. And that, I believe, is an accurate reflection of the real world. And that's something you want to reflect in your fiction, is the real world, as you see it. And that's ultimately the statement you make with your writing, is this is how I see the world, and this is where I see nobility. This is where I see all those moral values that I believe in. This is where I see them playing out in the world. And you reflect that with your writing. So, anyway, Sword of Calogrim is moving along. It's about almost 70,000 words. Getting real close to the end. As for wars, it's been really difficult to make this story take hold for me. And I think it's starting to. But it's like whenever I sit down to start writing, and it's like, I don't know if this is really where I need to go with it. You know, it's like I'm trying to build that momentum so I can keep it going. And I'm close, but it's like I feel like I'm really dragging my feet. And part of that, I guess, is I don't gravitate towards science fiction as much as I gravitate towards fantasy. So that's been a little difficult for me, and that's one of the things I really need to be cracking on, and I'm going to be cracking on very shortly here, since the writing bug is hitting me, is start cranking this thing out. Had a really good weekend over Labor Day. Went down to our my wife's family reunion. It's usually a pretty good time. Very, very wonderful family. I love all the people in it. There is not one person in her family that I really don't like being around, which is saying something, especially for me. That's not to say I spend a whole lot of time around them. You know, I'm more of a one-on-one kind of guy than I am a big group kind of guy. You know, I had more fun playing golf with my wife's uncle than I have fun hanging around in the, what they call the game room. They reserve one of the meeting rooms in the hotel to just hang out and play cards and put puzzles together and play with dominoes and all of these things. And I'm just not into all that. So I spent, you know, a lot of time in the room, my hotel room. Thought I would get some writing done, and I did manage to get 3 paragraphs in one of the things I'm working on. So that was good. That was a big thing for me. And really had kind of a refreshing time away from everything else. Away from work, away from all the stuff. Kind of the kids, hung out with other kids, and I kind of had a little relief there. And, of course, my wife was there, but, so I had time to reflect. And anytime I get away from everything, it really helps me see the bigger picture. And I've really been working on, and I believe, you know, God has been working on me to say, you know, look at what the priorities are in your life. Figure out what those are. Make them a priority, and put aside all the other stuff. And so I'm trying to do that. And now I'm coming up to the bridge here. If I can get on the freeway, then I can start driving. But so anyway, writing, of course, is one of those priorities that I'm trying to work with.
That's going to do it for this episode. I hope you got something out of that little car recording thing. I may do that again. Kind of depends. It seems that the program, for some reason, Windows doesn't like all 22 minutes. It only likes about 17 minutes. So I don't remember exactly what all you missed at the end, but I hope that there was something important, informative, entertaining, whatever. I hope you got some out of it. Anyway, if you want to get in touch, you can follow me on Twitter at Indiana Jim. You can go to podcast.indianajim.net, leave a comment on the blog post for this episode. You can email podcast@indianajim.net. And you can also leave a voicemail at 760-705-INDY. That's 760-705-INDY. For now, this is me saying so long. I've stapled my fedora to my head, and I'm riding off into the sunset.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Indiana Jim, a production of Visionary Creative Works. Visit podcast.indianajim.net and leave comments on the blog. Send in your emails and audio feedback to podcast@indianajim.net. I'm Dr. John Small. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.